You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible.
Oh my mama made it, anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day. I get excited about it like when Tatum play a Jalen on the breakaway, a Kyrie when he make a trade. And nothing like the terrible analysts on the TV. So in depth that after you play it, you gotta repeat. So in depth they might do an hour about the D-League. So in depth you probably should pay him, but it's a freebie. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and J. King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. And well wishes go to Gordon. Listen, after every game is very important, Millie.
Brown into Horford. Horford is going to take it. Got it! Boston wins!
Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Thank you for making us part of your daily routine, whatever it is you're doing, wherever you're going, in the gym, in the car, on the road, wherever. Thank you for taking us along with you. We're the Rain and Jays, John Corrales, Sam Jam Packard on a post game Celtics win beating the Portland Trailblazers 97-96 on an Al Horford buzzer beater. Awesome finish to what was, I thought, going to be a very not awesome game the way the Celtics started. Lots to get to, but let's just start at the end here. Al Horford, he said after the game that he was looking to give the dribble handoff to Jaylen Brown. And twice the Celtics looked like they were building up to a Jaylen Brown finish. And Al Horford said he heard the coaches say take it, so he took it and he made it.
Made it he did. He was phenomenal the entire game, especially there in the second half with his just general playmaking. We saw his point guard, Al Horford. But it was just a game the Celtics really had no business winning with after that terrible, what did they shoot, like 23% in the first half? Something atrociously low.
They managed to get it up to 31%. They were down to 23 at one point, and they got up to 31% at the end in the first half.
Yeah, they're down 16 at the half. I mean, they had a nice comeback like to cut it to 4 after being down 11, and then immediately just let it get back to 16. But these Celtics, they're now 4-1 in games in which they were down by 16 at the half, which is an absurd statistic. And it just shows like their continuous fight. Their growth mindset shouts to me for having.
Yes.
But that was a shameless plug. But I do think that like their general approach to these basketball games of not really trying to focus on the score, of just trying to play better. And they go on this crazy run where they outscore the Trailblazers 31-19 in the third quarter. And then they fought and clawed their way back and had a real tough time actually getting the lead back. And normally, I think you tweeted this as well, normally when you like just really struggle to get the game tied or retake the lead, it doesn't turn out well for you. But this team just, even when they make a terrible blunder of fouling Dame Lillard with 7 seconds to go, like Horford is the one who, I know Semi fouled him, but Horford's the one who got beat on that last Dame Lillard play where he split them the very high pick and roll. But they just come back and they make the right play, and Al Horford was phenomenal tonight, and just that's his shot, like that's his zone. It was just, it makes no sense at this point why the Celtics keep winning games, because they keep growing. Kaizen,
exactly. Yeah, shout out to you, because that was an awesome podcast. I'll let people in on the little behind the scenes here. Sam got this interview and he sends it to me and Jay. He goes, what do you guys think I should do with this? We're like, God damn it, that's a podcast. That's it. The entire show was you and that interview. That was awesome. So definitely a shout out to you. That was probably our best show of the year. So,
well, we don't want to focus on results here. There's a lot of things
we
could have improved in the process. There's questions I left on the table, but I appreciate it.
Yeah, you were the best version of you that day. All right, back to Al Horford. So here are Al Horford's overall numbers: 22 points, 10 rebounds, 5 assists, 8 of 12 shooting for 60, almost 67%, 2 of 2 from 3, 4 of 4 from the line. Just an awesome stat line. Most of that came in the second half: 16 points, 8 rebounds, 4 assists in the second half, 5 of 7 two shots that he missed in the second half. That's it. So Al Horford in this post Kyrie injury, out for a few games with the bruised thigh, has been kind of point Horford in a couple of times. There was a lineup. There's so many non-point guard lineups. One that Jaylen Brown, Al Horford, Daniel Tice, Abdel Nader, and Semi Ojeleye. And very often we've seen in this game in the past couple, Al Horford bringing the ball up. And it's just, it shows what he's capable of. And I think we saw it down the stretch without a point guard. There were times where you just got to get it to Al Horford and let Al Horford run the offense or run things through him. There was a time down the stretch where he brought the ball up, drew two defenders, and kicked it to Semi Ojeleye for a corner three. Then he got the ball, dribbled down to that same block on the right side, kicked it over to Jason Tatum for a corner three. And then, of course, there was the game winner where he got it basically in the same spot, and then he just took a big step back and drilled the shot at the buzzer. That's his sweet spot. That area of the floor, so many things. He had a nice move where on that same exact spot on the floor, dumped it down to, I think it was Daniel Tice for a layup. That's, you just get the ball to Al on that side of the floor and you let him work when you don't have Kyrie. And I think that is something that we're going to see a lot more of maybe come playoff time, when you just need to calm the team down and have a methodical guy handling the ball and handling the team. And you can do that through Al Horford in that spot. Even though his back is to the basket, he is waiting for cutters. He's waiting for things to happen. And he's very smooth and calm when multiple defenders come. He very rarely panics in that situation.
Yeah, and the Trailblazers did something. They started picking him up full court, or at least for a couple possessions, just to try and bring some nerves to him or get the ball out of his hands. But it's kind of just interesting that with basically Smart Larkin and Kyrie out, you have to stagger Terry Rozier's and Al Horford's minutes just to basically have like a competent ball handler on the court at all times. It's just interesting to see like those minutes with, basically because they needed Terry Rozier for, he played, I think, a game high 36 minutes. So him and Horford had the same, but just watching those two basically just run the offense, it was Horford just, he's such a good decision maker and so patient. That's the thing, is like you just see him wait, and sometimes he doesn't take the three that you want, but it seems like he's always making the right decision. And it's just such a benefit to have when you, I mean, the first two games with Kyrie out against the Knicks and the Hawks are kind of, they're the Knicks and the Hawks. They're garbage teams. And so it's much easier to get by, but to have a pull out a win when you're down 16 against a very quality team like the Portland Trailblazers like this, it's impressive. And the Celtics are now have 39 wins. I'm still sticking to it. I still think they can get to 60 if they're going to keep winning ridiculous games like this.
They could. They only need 21 more wins. So they're on their way. And after a, scuffling along, they had that little losing streak at home and the 2-2 West Coast road trip. They've now won four games in a row. So that's just a nice little recovery in the face of injury. A lot of guys out, key guys, not just anybody, Kyrie, Marcus Morris, Marcus Smart. And so for them to win those games, yeah, garbage teams against the Knicks and the Hawks, but again, quality win today. So
yeah, just to get victories before this upcoming week is actually like a huge week for the Celtics, because they play two of their kind of the top tier teams in the Eastern Conference. That Toronto game on Tuesday and then the Washington game on Thursday are going to be kind of big tests. And for them to pull out these three victories with Kyrie out, I'm assuming Kyrie's going to be back, but that's without any actual information. That's just, it's a big game, so I'm assuming he's going to play. But to get these just kind of three easy wins in the bucket before these two very difficult road tests, is this important for standings-wise? Because even though we've talked about, and I saw you mention this today on Twitter, like the Cavs, even with all their struggles, are still third place in the East. Like, nothing's guaranteed for them. They need to keep racking up these wins against the bad teams and even against the good teams like the Trailblazers. So it's just a very impressive victory, especially for them to come back. Sunday afternoon game. It started way too early. My brain is still kind of scrambled. I'm not really sure what's going on. It seemed like the entire Celtics roster was kind of scrambled in the first half. So You know, just it is impressive to kind of get this win in and continue this winning streak before heading out on this like tough week coming up.
Yeah, so here's the schedule for this week. Tuesday night at Toronto, Thursday night at Washington, back-to-back Friday back home against Indiana, and then Sunday, Cleveland, the 3:30 p.m. game on ABC, and that's Paul Pierce Day. So that's going to be this is an interesting next 7 days coming up.
How funny would be if they ran the Isaiah tribute anyways, just to mess with the Cavs locker room?
That would be amazing. They should just have it playing in the Cavs locker room when they come in.
Oh, that'd be great.
I just want people to know that we are recording the show before the Super Bowl, so you might be listening to it after the Super Bowl. We're doing it before because we want to watch it too, and there's no guarantee anybody's going to be in any condition to record a podcast after that. So wherever your allegiances lie, is the Patriots, the Eagles, or someone else that hopes both teams lose somehow, there's a Locked On NFL podcast for you. Just search for Locked On and whatever your favorite team is. My favorite team, our favorite team, obviously, is the Patriots. And
my favorite squadron's the Knee Patriots.
That's fantastic. And Mark Schofield does a great job with Locked On Patriots and has been doing a great job this entire week out in Minnesota doing crossover shows with the Locked On Eagles. So if you are a football fan, you are a Patriots fan, hopefully there is a celebratory podcast coming up. But either way, find them where you found us, the Locked On Patriots or whichever Locked On NFL podcast. There's one for every team. Search for them where you found us today. All right, the other story here is we got to keep talking about Terry Rozier and how he's been handling the starting job. Obviously, the triple-double, obviously a career high. Today, not as much. Today, he did some really good things, mixed in with some not-so-great things. His final stat line, 11 points, 6 rebounds, 5 assists, shot only 28% from the field, 5 of 18, 1 of 7 for 3. So as hot as he was against Atlanta, not very hot against the Blazers. But still found the time to hit some clutch shots and do some things. I think early if he was maybe pressing a little bit because he was really feeling himself as a starter and was trying to push things and find his own offense first. And I saw a few different instances of him not exactly seeing the floor particularly well and not finding his teammates when he should have and rushing his own offense. So I don't know if you saw the same thing, but I think this might have been a kind of settle down game for Terry Rozier. I still think he can be a potential starter in the NBA. I still think that the reason why he had two great games, not just because he faced trash opponents, because he's a pretty good player. He's still learning though. And I think today against some really good teams, maybe he saw a measuring stick of sorts against McCollum and Lillard. But he, I think, was rushing and a little too selfish early on. And only later in the game did he settle into a much better second half. And I think in the second half numbers bear that out. 8 points on 4 of 11 shooting. Not great, but not as bad as the first half where he shot 1 of 7. And 4 rebounds, an assist, and a plus 18. So on the floor for a lot of good things. And again, a clutch shot where he was, Al-Farouq Aminu, where he was just and one mixtaping him to death.
Yeah, no, I thought he had a, especially in the first half, I mean, the whole team did, but yeah, I thought he was forcing some mid-range jumpers and some floaters. As I said, he was only 1 of 7 from 3 tonight. I feel like the major reason he scored 30 points against the Hawks was he was money from downtown. He hits a few more threes, and his stat line looks remarkably different. But he still got 6 boards, 5 assists. And you're right, that clutch, very clutch play to put the team up 2 when it was tied over Aminu. I thought I was yelling at him in my head, like, because Horford had Dame Lillard on a switch in the post, and I thought he really should have entered the ball. But you know what? Tito's got confidence. He's never lacking in confidence. And I thought you're right. I thought he did a good game. And I just think defensively, what the Celtics did, I think him, Jaylen Brown, Semi Ojeleye did a great job just limiting Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum in the second half. Those two pretty much had a very pedestrian game. I mean, Dame made some crazy shots at the end. CJ McCollum hit a crazy three at the end with both Tatum and Brown contesting. But I just thought the perimeter defense, the guard defense by Rozier, Brown, and Shemmy just playing out of his mind. He missed a bunch of threes tonight, ended up making some that were quite clutch. But his defense is just phenomenal. It's just, he can really switch on to anyone. And the way he was able to jump out on those guys, I thought was fantastic tonight.
Yeah. You look at what the what McCollum and Lillard did. They combined for 43 points, 22 and 21, on 41 shots. Which, and it took, let's see the fourth quarter numbers out of Lillard. He shot 3 of 4 in the fourth quarter, and obviously clutched down the stretch. But it took that fourth quarter to even get his percentage that high. So a great job out of the Celtics on them. Great adjustments in the second half on Yusuf Nurkic, who was destroying them in the first half, just absolutely eating them alive down in that right block. The little baby hooks just couldn't be stopped. And in the second half, Nurkic dropped, let's see what his numbers were in the second half, a 1 of 5, 2-point second half after destroying the Celtics in the first. That's really where a lot of the damage was done and where the Celtics were able to come back, because they were able to contain him. Are you getting run over by trucks?
The trucks are quite close to me, and it's quite distracting. But you're right. In the first half, the Celtics felt like they were trapping hard on pick and rolls and basically trying to let the big man beat them. And, Nurkic was destroying them, and they made the adjustment and kind of really tried to force the other guy, other people to beat them. And it turns out the only person capable was Mo Harkless, who was amazing and incredibly frustrating. 5 of 5 from deep. Don't know where that came from, but Mo Harkless, what was it, like his second highest total of the season? It makes no sense.
Yeah, there's always that one random guy who just pisses you off. But yeah, at least he didn't beat us, which is good. It's just, what are you going to do? Sometimes you say you dare a guy to beat you, and he almost does, and he checks in with a monster game. That I remember last year, that was like the thing. There was always one random guy like, oh, today's Mo Harkless' turn. Great. I want to give a shout-out to Jaylen Brown, who hit some amazing shots. And I specifically want to highlight the one that I tweeted out, that he came off of a pick and curled over around to the top of the three-point line, just caught, spun, squared up, and shot, and drilled it. Jaylen Brown has been shooting, especially from three, pretty well. More impressive this year than I would have ever expected, considering the knock on him coming out of college was that he couldn't shoot. But he shot 4 of 7 from three tonight and plays some really good defense. And I think a lot of the shift in energy in the second half was because Jaylen was aggressive. And there was a play where Jaylen drove down he took it the length of the court and he missed, but he drew so much attention that Aaron Baines was able to grab it and dunk it. And then he got another and one after that. So I think Jaylen Brown has done a phenomenal job, and lost in today's madness of the game winner. I do not want his performance to be lost in the madness of this game winner.
No, his corner three late was huge. They had 4 seconds left on the shot clock after Tatum kind of got blocked, and he took it with confidence in the corner. And you're right, that play, I have that in my notes, when he came around the screen and caught it like in rhythm and shot it, was something I've never seen him
that.
Do before. He's
no.
much more of a catch and shoot guy.
Yeah, I've never seen that shot before, which was like, when he took it, I was like, wow, that's almost heat check-ish. But it wasn't. It wasn't off balance at all. He was squared perfectly. It's a new thing that we've seen from him. And he's a second-year player. We're going to start seeing new things from him. But that's really, really encouraging. You know, Jason Tatum had another nice night. 17 points on 6 of 14 shooting. 3 of 5 from 3 there. So you look at some of the shots Jason Tatum was able to hit, clutch fourth quarter shots. You know, in the fourth quarter, Tatum 7 points on 3 of 5 shooting, and to match Al Horford. But Jaylen Brown had 5 in the fourth quarter. You see that Tatum and Jaylen, as we like to now call them, Gin and Juice.
Ooh, I like it.
I'm liking Gin and Juice because I've got to be better at calling Jaylen Brown Juice, because that's been his nickname, and I only just realized that's been his nickname. I've got to really hammer that home. So I'm liking Gin and Juice, and I think the fourth quarter from those two guys and just the overall game that we've seen, like, man, yeah, we've got Horford and Kyrie and Gordon Hayward's going to come back, but those two guys are going to be really good for a long time. Like, even if those other guys end up going away someday 4 or 5 years from now, these two guys are going to be in their prime. That's going to be the next generation. When Danny Ainge talks about making a team that's good now and a team that's going to be good later, these are two of the guys who are going to make that team good later, which is awesome to see because they're a second-year player and a rookie, and they're already doing these things. I'm getting super, super excited right now.
As you should be, because I'm bringing it back to Kaizen, but like the continuous improvement that they've shown throughout the season, and Jaylen, I guess, throughout his 1.5 years in Boston has been impressive. The way they add simple things like just adding more 3-point shots to their arsenal. We like talked about that Jaylen Brown play, or just it feels like Jason Tatum's getting a little bit more aggressive and looking for his shot more, especially in the mid-range, which is like exactly where he needs to be, and then have the confidence he has to knock down big threes late in the game. It's just the way that these two guys have able to just improve throughout the season is there's talks of like rookie walls and the kind of course players are going to have their down times or go through slumps, but these two continue to just get better and rise to the occasion. And it's like a huge reason why they're able to come back from these giant kind of 16-point deficits, just because you chip away and you play the right way. And you like have that good, solid effort that these two young guys seem to have. So very huge reasons for the team to be or excited about this team, not just this year, but moving forward many years in the future.
All right, before we get to our Twitter hashtags and all of that, I want to point people to LockedOnCeltics.com. I don't know if you're following us on LockedOnCeltics.com, but you should, because that's where all of our podcasts live. And I want to point everybody to the Locked On Network Midseason NBA Awards, which is new. We're a young network, and we've polled all of the hosts that we have, and I think most of the hosts that we have, and we got a poll that selected our midseason NBA awards, and our MVP was James Harden. Our Rookie of the Year right now is Ben Simmons. Coach of the Year is your favorite, Brad Stevens. And the All-NBA team, Steph Curry, James Harden, Durant, LeBron, and sadly, DeMarcus Cousins, who is out for the rest of the season. But go to LockedOnCeltics.com, check that out. We'll be putting up some other stuff throughout the year, some other pieces of interest, and make sure you follow us there and wherever else we are on social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, @Rainin_Jays. Speaking of Twitter, why don't we hit the hashtags? And I think a lot of the beginning of this is just going to be Al Horford celebration, but let's start with Tyler Humphrey. Was that the most aggressive Al Horford we've seen this year in the second half? I want to say no. I mean, he's been definitely more aggressive this year anyway, and I think I can't remember the games off the top of my head, but there were a couple of games. I mean, Al Horford's not just kind of giving up and only passing out of shots. Like he's been more aggressive this year. I think the past few games with him as point Horford, he's been aggressive, but he's put up some big numbers.
Yeah, I think he was more aggressive in the second half, but he was super jacked up in this game. I know when they finally tied the game, he was at half court. I think it was the Tatum 3 that he facilitated, trying to get the fans pumped up. It just seemed like the entire team was energized and playing with a little bit of rage, which I feel like they need. This is the same kind of rage that they displayed in the game against the Rockets, where they're just playing with a lot of intensity. And Horford, like one of the most mild-mannered dudes there is, who's like the most calm like presence I've ever even spoken to. He was very jacked up today, so I don't know if he was more aggressive, but definitely emotions riding high, which is always fun to see from Al.
Yeah, definitely. It's always a fun thing because I get it. I get it. You know, there's people are they want Al Horford to be, I don't know, they want him to be like Mr. Takeover. It's just not who he is. He's going to facilitate as much as he is going to shoot the ball. So there it is. At Touche Bagouche, suck it, Lou Maloney. Al with the game winner. Jeff Morris, at GF Morris, average Al, my fat ass. Robert Denton, whew, I was really hoping that shot went in. Didn't want Horford to punch a picture frame. Shade at Marcus Smart. Addy Shepard, biggest win of the day. God, you know, I hope not. I hope there's a little bit of a bigger one, but I get the joke that you're trying to make. Let's see. What else do we have? That's it for all the Al Horford. Oh, there was an Al Horford dunk alert.
That was a crazy dunk. He just facialized Nurkic. I didn't see that coming. He just took it from rebound to the rim, and it was wild.
Yeah, point Horford. That's from at Life of Cahill. That was just sick. Like, he just took off. Like, oh, all right, there's a lane there. I will take that lane and dunk on your head. Let's go back up here and get I think there's a Jason. No, there's Terry Rozier. How come no one ever talks? This is from at Celts 18 Sox 9. How come no one ever talks about the fact that Rozier is the best rebounder in NBA history by far for a man his height? So, well, you're a big fan of the Rozier. You, every time Rozier goes up to grab a rebound, you tweet out the Daryl Strawberry Simpsons gif. So,
yeah, I was going to say, like, I'm pretty sure I've highlighted the fact that this guy can jump and is a great rebounder many times.
Yeah. That's, hey, he is just a tremendous rebounding guard. Like, he just loves to crash the board. It's funny. He jumps higher for rebounds than he does on, like, a dunk attempt or something.
It doesn't make any sense, but it feels like he's, like, the ball has limited him. But on a rebound, it's like he has a goal and he soars for it. But you're right. He jumps, like, it feels like a good 6 inches higher on rebound.
Yeah, he jumps like a normal human being everywhere else. And then he jumps and floats for rebounds. It's a weird like extra gear he has for that. Alex at Straight No Chaser, call me crazy, but that Tito eruption the last two games and now the dancing bear before the trade deadline. Ainge is out to fleece someone again at the deadline. I don't know
if a fleecing is going on, but I did appreciate Dabu Sele making its sweet, sweet return.
Oh, there are dabs. There are dab tweets in here for sure. But yes, I did appreciate Dabu Sele out there. I don't think there's a fleecing necessarily. I know that the Celtics are out there trying to maybe add another player, and there's been talk about Lou Williams. There's been talk about Tyreke Evans. At this point, once they make now here's the thing, and there's a lot of front office capology going on that I admit is I don't understand it. Obviously to the level that they do, because they have an agreement with Greg Monroe for him to join the team. That's done. But he hasn't signed. And who was it today? I think it was Steve Bolpet from the Herald that said, the agreement is still in place. No worries about that. When people are asking, why hasn't he signed yet? No worries about that. But the Celtics might be trying to angle for a trade or something. So I don't know exactly what the machinations are of the Celtics trying to swing a trade deadline deal and then bring Monroe in. I'm sure after they do it, if they can, we'll sit there and be like, oh, I didn't realize you could do that, because that's what the Celtics do, that because they're super smart. But there's something. They are trying to do something. They're not done. Monroe is not the last piece. And it's just a question of what do they think they can do and who might go out? Because at this point, I'm pretty sure there is some level of matching salaries that needs to happen.
This feels like a danger cart type of question where I've played my fair share of 2K, but I don't know why the reason they would wait on this. But I'm surely they do have reasons. I have faith in the Celtics front office at this point.
Yeah, so there is a move to be made. And like I said this morning, like I don't know if I wrote this on Red's Army this morning. I feel like Ainge is kind of playing a little bit of a game here with Marcus Smart, because he says that he's available for a first And I think that's as much Ainge trying to gauge the market. He has this opportunity now with Marcus hurt to say, all right, let's just kind of see. I'm going to float it out there. If I get a good first round pick for him, that means Marcus Smart's probably too expensive anyway to keep. Might as well get that first round pick and move forward, because the Celtics are going to be up against a potential tax line this offseason. And while the Celtics ownership has said we will pay the tax, there's no reason to pay it any earlier than you have to because of the repeater tax down the line. If you can just spend another year not being in the tax, then you have another year on the other side, 3 or 4 years down the road, where you're not paying the repeater rate, which is you're saving yourself just tens of millions of dollars. It's the smart play. So they're trying to figure out, I think, what Marcus Smart's value is. And if they can't get a first-round pick for Marcus Smart right now, that means in free agency, they're not going to be lining up to sign Marcus Smart and throw money at him. And then Danny Ainge can kind of let him sit there in restricted free agency while the money dries up, and then go back and be like, yeah, we're going to give you 3 years, $25 million, and take it or leave it. And that represents a raise for Smart, but not $20 million like his agent had wanted, according to Ben Rohrbach, who reported that today on his Patreon account, that his agent had reportedly promised him 3 years upwards of $57 to $60 million.
Whoa, Charles.
Yeah.
That seems quite unreasonable.
That's very unreasonable. It seemed a little more reasonable last summer, but I think Smart's lack of production, he's kind of plateaued, and the Celtics situation and the general financial situation of the NBA as a whole, that has all conspired against Smart. He's having maybe the worst contract year that I can imagine, not just from his perspective, but his play, but just all of the things that are just going on that impact him. It's just no way. I don't even know if he gets $10 million a year. I think he settles for less than $10 million a year. And if it's at that number, depending on what the Lakers pick, if the Lakers pick conveys, if it doesn't, then I think less than $10 million per year, Smart comes back.
Yeah, I think the play of Terry Rozier is just another hit against Marcus Smart's negotiating position with the Celtics. I don't really expect him to be dealt at all. I don't know. If the Celtics make a move, I really don't expect them to give up any players right now. I think they like the roster where they are, and for a good reason. They're 39-15, but you're right. Smart has, with the teams not having cap space, his performance on the court, his performance off the court as well, I just don't think he's helping himself in free agency.
All right, one last Rain and Jays, which is more of a Rain and Junk, which is your purview, but I'm going to say it because he used this hashtag at TooShPagoosh. Marcus Smart dressing up like McCarty and coaching the young guys might be my favorite thing about this game right now. Marcus Smart with the awesome, I feel like, seersucker suit on with no tie was just amazing. I joked that he looked like a casino owner ready for his grand opening.
I thought he looked like a sleazy real estate agent ready to sell you a house with a moldy basement.
Yes, yes. Not like Jason Manganiello.
No, not never.
I wish I had a Jason Manganiello read to do today. That's not today, but that would have been a perfect segue. All right, off to the Rain and Junk. Do you want to do the Rain and Junk? Do you have them in front?
I have some Rain and Junk. Let me tell you, it's the junk drawer's not that much in it because, like I said, my brain is not functioning because it's so early in the day. But Lil Funk made an appearance tonight in Patriots jersey. Go Pats. Always fan of Lil Funk. We got Dabu Sele, but the best thing about Yabu's dab was how happy it made Jalen on the bench, who immediately dabbed back.
That was
just a perfect
awesome
moment for Celtics fans.
That was awesome.
We had some Nader moments leading up to the Dabu Sele as like a nice primer. Abdel Nader, who was everyone's favorite person to hate on Twitter, was 2 for 6, big threes. I feel like the need to give him some love anytime he does something good, and he was positive at the end of the second quarter. At some point today, Cedric Maxwell called Aaron Baines Big Salty, and I'm here for it. I don't know. I just heard that. I was sitting behind him. I heard the name Big Salty, and then I saw someone tweet it, and I just think that's a fun name.
Big Salty. I like that.
They have put the thing, like, they did the classic thing where they put an Eagles fan on the Jumbotron, and then a Pats fan, and then an Eagles fan, and then, like, it was boos and cheers. But the Pats fan they put on was wearing a Super Bowl ring hat, and it was just, like...
I saw that guy.
It was huge. It was just like, how do you leave your house wearing that? Is he going to wear that all day? I'm very confused by the general attire. I get you have Super Bowl fever, but wearing a giant hat that looks like a ring was bizarre to me. Semi pointing to God is way less exciting of a 3-point celebration than the dab. That's just my own observation. And then finally, Brad Stevens, after the game in his post-game press conference, was wearing a cut-off Celtics hoodie and a Patriots beanie and forced Marcus Morris to come up on stage. And Brad was basically not here for questions. He wanted to make it all about the Super Bowl and then just said, we had a game to go watch. And it was just, he had jokes. Marcus Morris said he called game. And then Brad said, well, no matter what, if the shot went in or he missed it, it would have been game anyways. Just good lines all around. It was just funny to see that. I think it was directly punishment for Marcus Morris after the game on Friday, yelling Eagles during his press conference. But I don't know. It was quite amusing for me to watch.
It was pretty funny to see them at the podium at the same time. And here, Brad Stevens, they asked, so what were you thinking on the last play? As I was thinking, let's get out of here so we can go watch the Super Bowl. Like, that's just, I love sarcastic Brad. And I've been saying for now a couple of years, Brad continues to march down this little path where he's, I don't know if he's going to end up in Popovichville, but he's heading in that direction, and he's getting more sarcastic. He's sitting
more goofy too.
Yeah.
Before the game, he got on a chair and stood above Scal and looked down on him. It was great.
It was awesome. Like, Brad Stevens is seriously opening up. You get to see a little bit more of his personality. He got a tech in the Atlanta game for saying that's bullshit. Like, you know, we joke about golly gee shucks Brad Stevens, but that's not who he is. So I'm loving it. I'm loving Brad Stevens, the emergence. It's almost like a sweet 16. Like, he's blossoming as a coach. Like, now we're starting to see what his personality is going to be.
Kaizen, right. He's growing. Continual progress until he becomes a full human being.
Exactly. All right, guys. We're going to wrap this sucker up. I want to thank everybody for listening. Celtics win 97-96. We're going to get Jam out of the Garden, away from those trucks that are trying to run them down. Thank everybody. Thank you, everybody. If you are not a subscriber, for some reason, please subscribe to us wherever you find your podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts. We're on Spotify. So if you're streaming your music at the gym or something, go to the podcast section, find Locked On Celtics there. If you are a subscriber, 5-star rating, please, and give us a good review. Share, spread the word, tell your friends that they should be listening to us, the Locked On Celtics podcast. We're part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Go Patriots!